This is the reading for July 2nd, Job chapter 33. Now Job, listen to my words. Pay attention to everything I say. I open my mouth and am ready to speak. My words come from an honest heart, and I am sincere in saying what I know. The Spirit of God created me, and the breath of the Almighty gave me life. Answer me if you can. Get yourself ready and stand before me. I am just like you before God. I too am made out of clay. Don't be afraid of me. I will not be hard on you. But I have heard what you have said. I heard every word. You said, I am pure and without sin. I am innocent and free from guilt. But God has found fault with me. He considers me his enemy. He locks my feet in chains and closely watches everywhere I go. But I tell you, you are not right in saying this, because God is greater than we are. Why do you accuse God of not answering anyone? God does speak, sometimes one way and sometimes another. Even though people may not understand it, he speaks in a dream or a vision of the night when people are in a deep sleep, lying on their beds. He speaks in their ears and frightens them with warnings to turn them away from doing wrong and to keep them from being proud. God does this to save a person from death, to keep him from dying. A person may be corrected while in bed in great pain. He may have continual pain in his very bones. He may be in such pain that he even hates food, even the very best meal. His body becomes so thin, there is almost nothing left of it, and his bones that were hidden now stick out. He is near death, and his life is almost over. But there may be an angel to speak for him, one out of a thousand who will tell him what to do. The angel will beg for mercy and say, "Save him from death. I have found a way to pay for his life." Then his body is made new like a child's. It will return to the way it was when he was young. That person will pray to God, and God will listen to him. He will see God's face and will shout with happiness, and God will set things right for him again. Then he will say to others, "I sinned and twisted what was right, but I did not receive the punishment I should have received. God bought back my life from death, and I will continue to enjoy life." God does all these things to a person two or even three times so he won't die as punishment for his sins, and so he may still enjoy life. Job, pay attention and listen to me. Be quiet, and I will speak. If you have anything to say, answer me. Speak up, because I want to prove you right. But if you have nothing to say, then listen to me. Be quiet, and I will teach you wisdom. 1 Chronicles chapter 23. After David had lived long and was old, he made his son Solomon the new king of Israel. David gathered all the leaders of Israel along with the priests and Levites. He counted the Levites who were 30 years old and older. In all, there were 38,000 Levites. David said, "Of these, 24,000 Levites will direct the work of the temple of the Lord. 6,000 Levites will be officers and judges. 4,000 Levites will be gatekeepers, and 4,000 Levites will praise the Lord with musical instruments I made for giving praise." David separated the Levites into three groups that were led by Levi's three sons, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. From the people of Gershon, there were Ladan and Shimei. Ladan had three sons. His first son was Jehiel, and his other sons were Jetham and Joel. Shimei's sons were Shilamoth, Haziel, and Haran. These three sons were leaders of Ladan's families. Shimei had four sons, Jahath, Ziza, Jeus, and Beriah. Jahath was the first son, and Ziza was the second son, but Jeus and Beriah did not have many children, so they were counted as if they were one family. Kohath had four sons, Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziel. Amram's sons were Aaron and Moses. Aaron and his descendants were chosen to be special forever. They were chosen to prepare the holy things for the Lord's service, to offer sacrifices before the Lord, and to serve him as priests. They were to give blessings in his name forever. Moses was the man of God, and his sons were counted as part of the tribe of Levi. Moses' sons were Gershom and Eleazar. Gershom's first son was Shubael. Eleazar's first son was Rehabiah. Eleazar had no other sons, but Rehabiah had many sons. Izhar's first son was Shilemith. Hebron's first son was Jeriah, and his second was Amariah. His third was Jehaziel, and his fourth was Jekameam. Uzziel's first son was Micah, and his second was Ishiah. Merari's sons were Mahli and Mushi. Mahli's sons were Eleazar and Kish. Eleazar died without sons. He had only daughters. Eleazar's daughters married their cousins, the sons of Kish. Mushi's three sons were Mahli, Eder, and Jeremoth. These were Levi's descendants listed by their families. They were the leaders of families. Each person who was 20 years old or older was listed. They served in the Lord's temple. David had said, "The Lord, the God of Israel, has given rest to his people. He has come to live in Jerusalem forever." So the Levites don't need to carry the holy tent or any of the things used in its services anymore. David's last instructions were to count the Levites who were 20 years old and older. The Levites had the job of helping Aaron's descendants in the service of the temple of the Lord. They cared for the temple courtyard and side rooms, and they made all the holy things pure. Their job was to serve in the temple of God. They were responsible for putting the holy bread on the table, for the flour and the grain offerings, for the bread made without yeast, for the baking and mixing, and for the measuring. The Levites also stood every morning and gave thanks and praise to the Lord. They also did this every evening. The Levites offered all the burnt offerings to the Lord on the special days of rest at the new moon festivals and at all appointed feasts. They served before the Lord every day. They were to follow the rules for how many Levites should serve each time. So the Levites took care of the meeting tent and the holy place, and they helped their relatives, Aaron's descendants, with the services at the temple of the Lord. 1 Chronicles chapter 24. These were the groups of Aaron's sons. Aaron's sons were Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. But Nadab and Abihu died before their father did, and they had no sons. So Eleazar and Ithamar served as the priests. David, with the help of Zadok, a descendant of Eleazar, and Ahimelech, a descendant of Ithamar, separated their family groups into two different groups. Each group had certain duties. There were more leaders from Eleazar's family than from Ithamar's, 16 leaders from Eleazar's family and 8 leaders from Ithamar's family. Men were chosen from Eleazar's and Ithamar's families by throwing lots. Some men from each family were chosen to be in charge of the holy place, and some were chosen to serve as priests. Shemaiah, son of Nathanael from the tribe of Levi, was the secretary. He recorded the names of those descendants in front of King David. The officers, Zadok the priest, Ahimelech son of Abiathar, and the leaders of the families of the priests and Levites. The work was divided by lots among the families of Eleazar and Ithamar. The following men with their groups were chosen. The first one chosen was Jehorarib, the second was Jedaiah, the third was Haram, the fourth was Seorim, the fifth was Malchijah, the sixth was Mijamin, the seventh was Hakaz, the eighth was Abijah, the ninth was Jeshua, the tenth was Shechaniah, the 11th was Eliashib, the 12th was Jacob, the 13th was Huppah, the 14th was Jeshebib, the 15th was Bilgah, the 16th was Imer, the 17th was Hezer, the 18th was Hapazaz, the 19th was Pethahiah, the 20th was Jehezkel, the 21st was Jachin, the 22nd was Gamal, the 23rd was Deliah, the 24th was Messiah. These were the groups chosen to serve in the temple of the Lord. They obeyed the rules given them by Aaron, just as the Lord, the God of Israel, had commanded him. These are the names of the rest of Levi's descendants. Shubael was a descendant of Amram, and Jediah was the descendant of Shubael. Ishiah was the first group of Rehabiah. From the Izhar family group, there was Shelemoth and Jahath was a descendant of Shilamoth. Hebron's first son was Jeriah. Amariah was his second. Jehaziel was his third. And Jekameam was his fourth. Uzziel's son was Micah. Micah's son was Shemir. Micah's brother was Ishiah, and Ishiah's son was Zechariah. Merari's descendants were Mahli and Mushi. Merari's son was Jaziah. Jaziah, son of Merari, had sons named Shoham, Zachar, and Ibri. Mahli's son was Eleazar, but Eleazar did not have any sons. Kish's son was Jeremiel. Mushi's sons were Mahli, Eder, and Jeremoth. These are the Levites listed by their families. They were chosen for special jobs by throwing lots in front of King David, Zadok, Ahimelech, the leaders of the families of the priests, and the Levites. They did this just as their relatives, the priests, Aaron's descendants, had done. The families of the oldest brother and the youngest brother were treated the same.
Chapter 11.
The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that people who were not Jewish had accepted God's word. However, when Peter went to Jerusalem, the believers who insisted on circumcision began to argue with him. They said, "You went to visit men who were uncircumcised, and you even ate with them." Then Peter began to explain to them point by point what had happened. He said, "I was praying in the city of Joppa when I fell into a trance. I saw something like a large linen sheet being lowered by its four corners from the sky. The sheet came near me. I looked into the sheet very closely and saw tame animals, wild animals, reptiles, and birds. I also heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill these animals and eat them.' But I answered, 'I can't do that, Lord. I've never put anything impure or unclean into my mouth.' A voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Don't say that the things which God has made clean are impure.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled back into the sky again. At that moment, three men arrived at the house where we were staying. They had been sent from Caesarea to find me. The Spirit told me to go with them without any hesitation. Six believers from Joppa went with me, and we visited Cornelius's home. He told us that he had seen an angel standing in his home. The angel told him, 'Send messengers to Joppa and summon a man whose name is Simon Peter. He will give you a message that will save you and everyone in your home.' When I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came to these people. This was the same thing that happened to us in the beginning. I remembered that the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized by the Holy Spirit.' When they believed, God gave them the same gift that He gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. So who was I to interfere with God?" When the others heard this, they had no further objections. They praised God by saying, "Then God has also led people who are not Jewish to turn to Him so that they can change the way they think and act and have eternal life." Some of the believers who were scattered by the trouble that broke out following Stephen's death went as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and the city of Antioch. They spoke God's word only to Jewish people. But other believers, who were from Cyprus and Cyrene, arrived in Antioch. They started to spread the good news about the Lord Jesus to Greeks. The Lord's power was with His followers, and a large number of people believed and turned to the Lord. After the news about Antioch reached the church in Jerusalem, Barnabas was sent to Antioch. When he arrived there, he was pleased to see what God had done for them out of kindness. So he encouraged all the people to remain solidly committed to the Lord. Barnabas was a dependable man, and he was full of the Holy Spirit and faith. A large crowd believed in the Lord. Then Barnabas left Antioch to go to the city of Tarsus to look for Saul. After finding Saul, Barnabas brought him back to Antioch. Barnabas and Saul met with the church in Antioch for a whole year and taught a large group of people. The disciples were called Christians for the first time in the city of Antioch. At that time, some prophets came from Jerusalem to the city of Antioch. One of them was named Agabus. Through the Spirit, Agabus predicted that a severe famine would affect the entire world. This happened while Claudius was emperor. All the disciples in Antioch decided to contribute whatever they could afford to help the believers living in Judea. The disciples did this and sent their contribution with Barnabas and Saul to the leaders in Jerusalem.